In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, good morning. We have some good news today. Not only is it the day of rejoicing today, this is the day where we wear this beautiful rose that we have here. But in addition to that, we have a priest who's going to come and give us a beautiful day of reflection. Keep open the 20th of December. That's a Tuesday. Tuesday evening, he will celebrate Mass for us at 5:30 and then give us a talk on what it means to prepare the way of the Lord and give us an all-night opportunity to come to confession. Father Frederick Gruber will be with us. That's the very day where his flight touches down and he'll immediately get to work helping us out. On Wednesday, he wishes to have a very big Mass for us for the Feast of St. Thomas, St. Thomas the Apostle. And then he will be on Saturday, or rather on Friday, which is the 23rd, he'll do the exact same mission talk in Fort Sumner. So if you wish to go and be a part of that again at 5:30, he'll give that exact same thing, an opportunity for all of us who wish to go to confession, that each of us might be able to be prepared to make a worthy Holy Communion for Christmas, for the coming of our Lord, his Nativity. From there on, he will be in Fort Sumner until the end of his visit, January 4th. I wish he'd stay with me till July. It'd be great to have my brother with me. Now, he will offer during that Christmas octave, those days between Christmas and New Year's, he will offer them on Monday through Friday a similar talk each and every night in Fort Sumner at 5:30 p.m. He'll have a Mass followed by a talk on the mysteries, the joyful mysteries of Our Lady's Rosary. If you want to be a part of that, Fort Sumner is not so far away. He gave us talks last year, and so now he'll be there in Fort Sumner to give them similarly beautiful insights into the Blessed Virgin as well. This upcoming week, just was found out yesterday that Demetrio Gonzalez passed away of Fort Sumner. And so we'll have his Mass, his funeral, on Friday in Fort Sumner. Beyond that, I just have one thing to share with you. And that is to ask Miss Maxine Sanchez, if you'd come forward, have a gift for you.
Thank you for your son. You've given him to service to our country, but also as a great pride here within our community. And so that the one thing which is necessary for you during this time and at all times is to be dedicated to intercession. And even when you don't know how to intercede, it's all right. Scriptures say the Spirit makes intercession for us in words and groanings that we know not. But even beyond that, great image of intercession for us is none other than Our Lady. So you do this beautiful image of the Madonna prayer, Alleluia prayer. And may it remind you to constantly get prayer as well as your need to surrender everything to the Lord. And He will take care of you.
The beginning of our Mass began with these words, even before the sign of the cross in the introit. Gaudete in Domino Semper. Rejoice always in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let your moderation of your emotions be known by all men, for the Lord, He is near. Therefore, have no anxiety at all, but in everything by prayer, let your petitions be made known to God. Words taken from the fourth chapter of Philippians. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we spoke about John the Baptist, who is our patron of the season. But now he's locked in prison. John the Baptist, we spoke about him last week, he was preaching repentance in the name of the Lord. But now, today, that preaching has earned him a spot on death row. He knew what his mission was when he was sent out, that he was a voice crying out in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. He went out with fire in his belly, speaking the truth. He preached and he didn't care who had offended or what happened because he knew he was doing exactly the one thing that God called him to do. He was sure that the Messiah for whom he was preparing the way would come in power and would come in glory and he would see it. But now he's locked up. Now he's in prison, in El Carcel. And those horizons which seem so bright, so expansive, that laid open before him the way of letting God come, now are limited. They are dark and diminishing. But the darkness doesn't merely affect him. It affects all the more those who are his disciples. Just like our Lord Christ, he has his own disciples. They begin to abandon their master, saying, I don't want to end where that is. The disciples, some of them begin to question his method and say, why do you have to be so passionate? And why do you have to speak with such fire? Couldn't you just leave good enough alone and not speak about the illicit marriage there? That's why you're locked up. They become so discouraged because they see his grim faith. His grim faith, and wonder, was this mission? Was this forerunner of Christ, was he running in vain? Was God actually behind everything that he did, or was it an ego trip of John putting himself forward in a religious fervor saying, I'm going to do something myself, like so many did before? They ask the question, will all the efforts and sacrifices that we made, is it all in vain? The response that the church makes is, Gaudete in Domino Semper. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again. Rejoice. There's a middle-aged Indian man, once from a very proud people that had now been laid low and conquered. His name, Juan Diego. He found that his great strength was in this new faith that came from a great distance to him of Catholicism, that this Catholic faith brought a profound joy to his soul. It lifted him. It made him see that there was something good in him, in his smallness, in his lowliness. He felt that now, like unbefore any other time, they could actually walk with God each and every day. A greater sense. He saw that this faith promised that he now had a mother who was powerful. She cared for him, wrapped him close, and brought joy to his soul. But when he looked around him, all he saw was that his culture was in steep decline. He knew that his people were ready to rebel against those who had brought them this new faith. Conversions began to slow, and he saw massive death around him everywhere by disease. But it wasn't just something that was existing in the ether all around him. It touched close to home. His own elderly uncle, for whom he was the primary caregiver, only seemed to get worse and worse and worse. He wondered, how could he, I, Juan Diego, who is so small, I, who am so uneducated, what is it that I can do? Nothing. Was this new God really powerful enough? Would he really come close enough to care for somebody who is so small and insignificant as I? Will he really come to the rescue? And the church said to him, Gaudete in Domino Semper, which is to say, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let the moderation of your emotional state be known by all, for the Lord, he is near. Again, there's a family, a rural family, a small, faithful Catholic family, young as they were, they made many, many sacrifices. They loved their faith. Not only did they maintain it in their own family unit, but they sought to spread it abroad and defend it when it was spoken badly of. In a world that speaks badly of the truth. They have three beautiful kids, three beautiful young children, and their love went beyond what they were naturally able to give as they sought to adopt a child who was a drug baby. They weren't a family of great means, but they stepped out with great faith, trusting that God has a plan for us, and he will indeed take care of everything. Yet tragedy strikes. They were able to conceive yet a child, but the loss of that child came late into the pregnancy. The child was stillborn. It was devastating. How could any of us even begin to comprehend what such a loss would do, the loss of such a child, the emotions? What they do at that time is they rage wild and damage every single relationship because the whole of the universe is shaken at the loss of a child in such a way. Forward they go, because forward they must. Siempre adelante, nunca para atrás. Yet somehow trust in God is reestablished through the children. The children, they began to intercede, not only for the sake of the lost sibling, but they intercede with the lost sibling. They name her Penny. Penny was her name. Penny. She was Penny now from heaven. And they add her to their daily prayers. They often laugh and giggle, pondering what this sister was taken too soon from them. What is she seeing right now? What is she doing right now? What is she thinking about right now, our sister who is distant from us? What is she speaking about and saying at this time? What brings her joy there in heaven? As she waits for her siblings to join in the celestial fun. Mom and dad, heavy with grief, learn again to embrace life again. As the years pass, as the time goes on, all of a sudden, a miracle occurs. A miracle occurs by a grace of a prophetic intercession as a child is conceived. The desire that was fearful even to dream about somehow is realized by the grace of God, that long beyond what others thought would be impossible or at least improbable, yet God is faithful. He is true. His power can be felt even now, just as he worked so many miracles before in the past and so many times. It can even be done now because the arm of the Lord has not grown shorter. His power is just the same as it's always been. Yet every rose has its thorns and every grace given a struggle permits. You can imagine what sort of fears cloud the minds of parents as a new child is given, concerns, anxieties. Will this baby grow up and be strong? What will they do? What lays in store for this one? And will our finances hold or fall in the market, as the economy is not doing well at all? But this family has other concerns at bear. Is this child going to make it to the end? Are we too old? Have we asked too much from God? Will we have to endure that again? Can we even endure that again? Will God hear us? Can we trust in Him? Does God really take care of everything? The church speaks today to them the same. Gaudete in Domino Semper, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. The Lord, He is near. Therefore, have no anxiety at all. What's the commonality of all these three stories? In all three of these stories, each and every one of them, they know God. They understand Him. They seek His word and try to apply it to their lives. They love Him with all their hearts the best that they can, even as weak as they are. They try to put His commands into practice. All three of them, they wish to serve Him the best of their ability in their individual situations and vocations. John the Baptist, he goes out into the desert and proclaims the way of the Lord, preaching to droves. Juan Diego, in his smallness there, he joyfully witnesses to the faith to his people, which has brought him a new outlook on life. That family, that rural Catholic family, build up a culture of life beginning in the sacred place of the home. And all three of them, they all endure trial and great suffering that bring them, yea, to the point of despair. John the Baptist's disciples, seeing him locked up in prison, they wonder if this was all worth it. Juan Diego, seeing the smallness of who he is, the littleness of his person, it causes him to doubt God's closeness. Is he paying attention? The family wonders if they were given graces only to be set up for a greater failure, as their anxiety tortures their soul as each successive day goes by. To this point, I've given you that scripture passage, Philippians 4, in piecemeal. But what is the whole? It says, Gaudete in Domino Semper, which is to say, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. For the Lord, He is very near. Therefore, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer, let your petition be made known to God. And then, the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds, the knowledge and the love of Jesus Christ. That last part is the solution. But in everything, my prayer, let your petition be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which indeed surpasses all understanding, it will be the very thing that guards your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and in the love of Christ Jesus, who is the Lord. That's the solution, prayer. The solution is to let God know, to place it before Him, to trust Him. John the Baptist, he knew that he himself, in his situation, it was too difficult for his disciples to hear. They couldn't hear the encouragements that he was trying to give them in the midst of his prison cell. So what did he do? He sent them directly to God, to his cousin, to He who is Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, so they could hear from His divine voice the confirmation that they needed to see that it was indeed all worth it. And he said, look, tell John everything that you see, that you hear. See that the work of God is indeed being worked among you. It is worth it. And so fortified by that truth, John and his disciples are able to go forward even in the midst of that prison cell, the darkness which is there, even though it does indeed end in the death of John the Baptist. Even beyond that, they realize that God's work is being done, so it is indeed all worth it. You see it as well in Juan Diego, that he wanted to fulfill Our Lady of Guadalupe's request, but his uncle, Tio Juan Bernardino, was dying. And so Our Lady went ahead of him, took that request already to the Lord, interceding for him on that behalf, got an answer and gave the reply. Do you remember what that powerful reply was? Meeting him on Mount Tepeyac, she said to him, listen, put it into your heart, my youngest, my dearest, the smallest of my sons. That thing that disturbs you, that thing that afflicts you, it's nothing. Do not let your countenance, do not let your heart be disturbed. Do not fear the sickness of your Tio or any other sickness, nor anything that is sharp or hurtful. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not under the shadow of my protection? Am I not the very source, the cause of your joy? Are you not found within the hollow of my mantle, right in the center of the crossing of my arms? Do you need anything more? Let nothing else worry you or disturb you. Do not let your uncle's illness worry you, because he will not die now. You may be certain that he is already well. She speaks those words not merely to Juan Diego. She speaks them to you and me, for we in Christ are all sons and daughters of Our Lady Guadalupe. We know exactly what happened after that. We have the tilma, which 500 years later still miraculously remains and is a continual miracle. What about that family? That poor Catholic family, what they do? They prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and continue to pray even to this day. They hope and trust even beyond what they believe is even possible. Though Penny was stillborn and is now interceding them from heaven, this Penny from heaven, young Colby Flynn was born this past Monday. 7 pounds, 2 ounces, 20.75 inches. He stayed around long enough to where, indeed, he had to be induced into pregnancy. Induced into giving birth, rather. And in just a few hours in Fort Sumner, he will be baptized. That's a real reason to rejoice today. A real cause of our joy. To say, Gaudete in Domino Semper, to rejoice in the Lord always. To say it again, rejoice. For the Lord, he indeed is very near to us. Therefore, have no anxiety at all. God doesn't always transform our situations the way we want, when we want it, exactly how we want it. God doesn't always heal our uncles when they are on their deathbed. He doesn't always give us miraculous bursts to bring joy to our lives, even to get us through it all. But he sometimes does permit evil, evil people, evil situations to wreak havoc upon our lives. What does God always do, though? God always promises that he will come to save. As that psalm says, he will come and save us with his justice in his proper time. Second reading that Mandy gave for us says what? It says from James chapter 5. Listen to it again. It says, be patient, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer, he waits for that precious fruit to come forth from the earth, being patient with it until he receives both the early rains and also until the late rains. You too must be patient. Make your hearts firm, strong, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. He's saying he will come to save us. Patience. Stand firm. Trust in the Lord. The Lord, he isn't just coming at the end of time to bring things together as we see in the book of Revelation. It's not something merely at the end of the time that he comes, but he comes individually to you and I, into our hearts, if we prepare the way for him. To come into our lives. To come into the situations that we experience, no matter how dark or dreary they may be, to help us endure all that difficult, not with our weakness, for we have not strength. But he places his strength in our hearts if we open them wide enough to receive it. He does come. So I urge you today, just as we have been praying this past week, to engage all the more strongly in that novena of surrender. That gift that Don DeLindo gave for us. All copies are in the back of the church. Take them. To keep on trusting that God will take care of your soul, even in the greatest of difficulties, if you surrender your life to him and let him actually take care of everything. Don't forget that we have a good, faithful, and all-powerful mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe. She's here. She wants us always to realize that we are held underneath the protection of her mantle. Which means what? That we find ourselves in the center of the crossing of her arms, in that abrazo, in that embrace, which places our head where? Squarely upon her beating maternal breast. She holds us close. She wants us to have confidence in that motherly care that she has for us as the dearest of her children. St. Pius X, whose relic is always here upon our high altar there, Pope St. Pius X. He says powerfully, urging you and I, saying, let the storm rage and let the sky darken. Not for that shall we be dismayed or discouraged. If we trust, as we should, in Mary, we shall recognize her as she is, the virgin most powerful, who with her virginal foot did crush the head of the ancient serpent. Trustingly then, let us pray as we prayed last week and as we pray each and every day, God willing, continue. Let's pray that novena of surrender 10 times. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Virgin most powerful, Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.